This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
In the late 1920s, the Zeppelin began operations as a passenger airship following its use in World War I for military purposes. The most iconic Zeppelin of this era was the Graf Zeppelin, which first took flight in 1928. This luxurious airship was designed to provide an unparalleled travel experience. The Graf Zeppelin became a symbol of the golden age of airships, completing several record-breaking flights, including a round-the-world voyage in 1929 and a successful polar expedition in 1931. Capitalizing on the Graf Zeppelin's success, the Hindenburg was designed as an even larger and more opulent airship, aiming to redefine air travel standards. However, the tragedy of the Hindenburg in 1937 marked a turning point for Zeppelins. On May 6, 1937, the Hindenburg caught fire while attempting to land at Lakehurst Naval Air Base in New Jersey. The disaster claimed the lives of 36 people and was immortalized on film, broadcast worldwide. This catastrophic event severely undermined public confidence in the safety of airship travel. In the aftermath of the Hindenburg disaster, Zeppelin travel saw a fast decline. Governments and investors lost faith in the technology, and trust in the safety of Zeppelins never recovered. In part, success, or lack thereof, comes down to trust. As many U.S. regional banks currently face significant stress due to trust issues, today we will delve into banking history to determine if this situation presents an opportunity or risk to the current environment. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of May 1st, so listen on as we navigate the living market. U.S. banks are experiencing a year to remember. Let's recap what's happened so far in 2023. On March 8th, Silicon Valley Bank issued a letter to stakeholders stating its need to raise capital to offset losses tied to its technology company clients withdrawing funds rapidly. Concurrently, Signature Bank announced plans to liquidate assets and cease operations due to issues with loans made to cryptocurrency firms. These events triggered a crisis of confidence in regional banks, leading to the collapse of SVB 2 days later, followed by Signature Bank. These events also led to an increase in concerns among customers of smaller banking institutions, prompting them to transfer their deposits to larger, safer banks. Banks that operate under the label too big to fail, meaning that surely if they had problems, something would be done to save them. This phenomenon of taking money out of a bank before it fails is known as a bank run, and it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, as the mere mention of a bank can spark fear of a failure and trigger a run. After a brief stabilization of the situation, First Republic Bank in New York reported massive deposit transfers during their quarterly earnings report commentary. It ultimately became the second largest bank to collapse since Washington Mutual in 2008. The primary cause of these issues has been rapidly rising interest rates. It is important to note that this situation differs significantly from the 2008 Great Financial Crisis, which resulted from excessive risk-taking and misvaluation of assets by the banks. Technically, today, there's nothing wrong with the banks. They have become a victim of circumstance. The current situation is a crisis of confidence, and despite assurances from the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon that the banking system is sound, depositors appear to continue to transfer funds from smaller banks to larger, these too-big-to-fail institutions. Now, in response to these issues, banks are tightening lending standards. In other words, lending less. The latest Senior Loan Officer survey revealed banks' concerns about risk tolerance, funding costs, liquidity, and deposit outflows. Consequently, the regional banking index has declined by more than 35% year-to-date as of May 9th. Now, sometimes these issues fade away on their own, and sometimes they don't. In 2008, banks worldwide faced their largest crisis in modern history with subprime mortgages, followed by the European sovereign debt crisis, and both of these events severely impacted U.S. and European banks. In Europe, the Eurostoxx banking index remains 80% below its 2007 high 15 years later. In Japan, We have seen an even bleaker example with the topic's bank stock index still down 87% from its 1989 peak 35 years later. Now, we're not suggesting that small regional banks will suffer the same fate, but the current crisis highlights the importance of trust in a fractional banking system. If people lose confidence in the safety of their deposits, it becomes a big issue for banks, and big issues for banks quickly become big issues for everyone. We believe the U.S. regulatory authorities will be quick to act and stem any potential spillover. Furthermore, the Federal Reserve has recognized the impact of the crisis, and we believe will take this into account when making future interest rate decisions. The ironic consequence of the current banking issues is a slowdown in credit creation. In other words, it's getting harder to access loans, and tighter lending conditions have a similar effect as rising rates, slowing down the economy and curbing inflation. Overall, we don't believe the current bank challenges will lead to a systemic breakdown. It is one more headwind, however, to U.S. growth in an already slowing economy. So to the U.S. Federal Reserve, we say, be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.